Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Today, we'll be speaking with a childhood cancer survivor. Micah is 7 years old, or to be more exact, he's 7 3/4. And use clinical trials to fight his neuroblastoma. Now, he hopes that he can be an inspiration and a role model to other kids like him who find themselves in the hospital. Looking forward, Micah hopes to be a doctor one day, so that way he too can help sick children.
Micah, we're talking to Brielle.
Hi.
Hi, Micah. How are you?
Good.
Good. All right. So just to get started, Jeff, can you give us a little bit of background on Micah's experience with cancer and how it ultimately led to be diagnosed?
Micah is he's currently 7 1/2. Micah was diagnosed when he was about 15 months old. Just very briefly, we had taken him to a pediatrician because he seemed to be having a little bit of trouble breathing. He's breathing very shallowly. And they had, they did an x-ray and they initially said, it looks like he has pneumonia. You should go down to the hospital. So we had taken him to, the local children's hospital and they were treating him for pneumonia and determined that he wasn't responding to it, after kind of an overnight treatment. So they did some further imaging to see what was going on and, that's when they discovered that he had neuroblastoma. So I can sort of fast forward a lot, but that led to
quite 7 3/4.
He's actually 7 3/4.
Oh, okay.
So that led to quite a lot of treatment, chemotherapy and surgery and radiation and immunotherapy. With a lot of inpatient stays at the hospital. He went through quite a lot of treatment at our local hospital, and towards the end of what was supposed to be the end of his treatment, we discovered that he had relapse. He had been mostly clear of disease for about 3 months. And we discovered that he relapsed. So he went back into treatment, this time at primarily at a different hospital where they see a little more neuroblastoma, a lot more neuroblastoma, actually. Again, sort of skipping forward a bit, there was that relapse. He was treated for that and cleared, and then he relapsed a second time. I went through treatment for that and cleared. And over the course of this, much of his treatment was either sort of part of or the result of clinical trials, including a part of his treatment at two different stages was a drug that's now called Unituxin that was funded by partially by St. Baldrick's research. And so that once he cleared of that second relapse, we've had him participate in both some trials as well as some off-study treatments to hopefully give him the best chance of remaining disease-free since that time. So we are thankfully able to say now that he's been clear of the second relapse for 4 years.
So I guess what led you to decide to go on a clinical trial? And Micah could kind of chime in if he has any memories about being in treatment and kind of what helped him stay brave and through all of that and what that was like.
Micah, do you remember any of the early treatments? And
Not the early ones, but I do remember some of them.
What was that like, Micah?
Well, there's this one time when I wasn't in the hospital that I remember when I had a Bactrim and sirolimus. Two of the most disgusting medicines ever. Uh-huh. One right after another, and it was at a restaurant overnight. Mm-hmm. So I barfed all over my food.
Oh,
and
no.
medicine again as we got into the car, and then we had to get it right home.
Oh, and Micah, I'm sure though you were really brave through all of this. How did you stay so brave through all of that? Because that's really amazing that you went through so much at such a young age.
Well, at first I was really scared, but soon I warmed to the people in the hospital and the treatments I got, and it was something unexpected, and I didn't know what would happen. I just went along with it, because no matter how much pain that the medicines cause or how much barf they create, they will help you no matter what, even if make you barf every single day.
And I saw that you now want to grow up and be a doctor. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It's just, I want to help people who would follow my immunization path. And also, I want to stick with my best friend, Nolan. He and I are both going to medical school. Well, when we get older, we're only in second grade.
And Jeff, when you hear that your son wants to grow up and be a doctor, especially all that he experienced, how does that make you feel?
I am really both thankful that that is
one reason, one
of his goals for his life, and I grateful doesn't even cover it, that he's able to look ahead and to potentially, you know, take on a challenge that could be so beneficial or meaningful for who knows how many people. When he was first diagnosed and when you first, you know, hear that your kid has cancer, you just want them to survive, you know, that day, that week, that month. We weren't really able to look that far ahead when it was early on, or even when it wasn't quite so early on. But it's really amazing to be able to think about the fact that we can look forward and he can look forward, and hopefully he can accomplish that goal and make his mark on the world.
And can you tell me a little bit about what ultimately led you to make the decision to have him get enrolled on a clinical trial? And was that an easy decision to make?
The standard of care, as it was explained to us the time he was diagnosed, involved a sort of a roadmap of chemotherapy and surgery and radiation and immunotherapy that was all sort of guided by a clinical trial at that time. It was the use of that drug, Unituxin, the immunotherapy drug. That trial was still underway at the time Micah was diagnosed. So almost immediately, we were told that the standard of care and the plan for his treatment was going to involve this study. And then over time, as we moved forward, my wife and I had always been had early on come to the decision that if we could use Micah's experience to in some way further childhood cancer care, be it by telling a story or by participating in clinical trials that in some fashion would hopefully move treatment forward to be better or less toxic, more effective, whatever improvements we made, we wanted to do that. So it was a relatively easy decision, actually. At any point that we were offered the opportunity to put him on a study, we generally went with that. Our first priority was making sure we're doing our best to make sure that he was getting some sort of therapy that would either eliminate disease he had or give him a better chance of remaining disease-free once we got to that point. But the secondary concern right after that was if he or we can do something to help further research. So over the course of his treatment so far, I think he has been on 5 different studies in one fashion or another.
And Micah, do you know how important your enrollment on clinical trials is? And do you know that you're kind of maybe paving the way for more cancer treatments for other kids like you? And what's that feel like?
Well, most of the time I feel normal, but when reminded or when I'm thinking about my experiences or anything cancer-related, I feel that I'm kind of a role model for other kids. I withstood the pains and barf makings of my treatments, and now I'm actually fine.
Do you remember us telling you about how clinical trials work and what part you play in them?
Mm-hmm. I'm one of the medicine testers, right?
Sort of. That's what you remember? Is that you're helping to test the medicine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Well, that's great. I'm really happy to hear that you can be a role model. And I'm sure other kids are really lucky to have a role model like you. Neuroblastoma is a more rare cancer type. Tell me a little bit, did you know anything about the disease before Micah was diagnosed?
Micah, you don't remember the time before you were diagnosed,
definitely
do you?
Definitely not. That was before I was 15 years old.
I had heard of it, and just sort of coincidentally, I guess. So Micah was diagnosed in March, and the summer before that, I believe it was in the summer, maybe it was early fall, there's another organization here in the San Diego area that was raising money to support neuroblastoma research. At the time, my other son was four and a half, I'd have to think about it, but this organization here were holding an event they call Touch a Truck, where they would go and they just had volunteers and companies bringing in their trucks or other vehicles that kids could go, you know, climb into and climb on, and there were other activities going on around it, and music and food, and it was a big fundraiser to support neuroblastoma research. And I'm pretty confident that my older son Asher and I walked in, and we made our donation to go ahead and get in, and I heard a little pitch from somebody about childhood cancer and neuroblastoma, and then I was more focused on my son and him having a good time, and we happened to be supporting a good cause, which was great, but it wasn't something that really stuck. And then you fast forward a few months later when Micah was diagnosed and they mentioned neuroblastoma, it sort of clicked that I had heard that before. And it took me a minute to figure out where I had heard it, and then it all sort of dropped into place. Sort of a long answer to your question, but I had briefly heard of neuroblastoma, but I did not know really anything about it other than that it was a type of childhood cancer.
And Micah, when you tell people about neuroblastoma, what do you tell them? How do you describe the disease that you dealt with?
Well, when I'm telling people about neuroblastoma, I mostly tell them what it is, some of my stories.
Well, what do you tell them? What is it?
I tell them something along the lines of neuroblastoma is a tumor cancer, which means there are lumps in your body that aren't supposed to be there, that are like giant germs, except they eat up at things. So, that's why I don't have my left adrenal gland, and why my femur broke.
So, Jeff, is Micah going to deal with any kind of late effects of his treatment, and what's that going to be like?
He is already dealing with some side effects of his treatment. His disease, too. His first relapse, as he just sort of alluded to, it was in his femur, his left femur. So that caused a fracture in that bone, and ultimately a deformity. So his legs are different lengths now. which means he needs to have a lift in his left shoe or something, other measures taken to even out his gait so he walks properly and doesn't hopefully cause himself any spinal or other orthopedic alignment issues as he gets older. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, he suffered hearing loss. A lot of kids who have been treated for neuroblastoma receive chemotherapy that involves platinum, which is pretty detrimental to hearing. So we knew he had some hearing loss early on, and then it has gotten a little worse recently, just sort of tipping him over the line where he needed hearing aids. So he has just recently started using hearing aids about a month ago. And then he also has a condition called lymphedema, which is...
when my lymph nodes are removed, well, that's one of the causes, and the lymph node fluid can't drain from that area, resulting in swelling. And since my parents didn't know what it was until a couple of months after they noticed it, and I was diagnosed a couple months after, well, family diagnosed, so I don't think it's ever going to go away.
No, so he has this lymphedema. So basically his entire left leg from his toes up to his hip is swollen. A permanent condition.
Yeah.
What?
Well, it's a permanent unless you immediately know what it is as soon as you notice it, and then you immediately get some kind of medical help.
Mm.
Then it might go away.
Mm, unlikely, though.
But in my case, slim to absolute zero.
A lot of people don't, you know, have a lymphedema discussion before, you know, having lymph node removed. And that is, at least from what I've seen, it's, you know, relatively common. It happens to them, and then they go to the doctor, and they're like, what is this? Now, Micah, tell me a little bit more about being a role model and what you want other kids with cancer to learn from your experience.
I want them to learn that if your medicines make you feel sick or cause you pain, it's because they're working with your body, trying to get rid of cancer, strengthen your body, keep cancer away. Mm-hmm. And if they don't notice that, I don't know what to do if they don't notice that.
And Jeff, what was your grand takeaway? If you learned, I'm sure you learned a ton throughout this whole experience, but is there one major takeaway that you would offer to other parents who are maybe now just getting a diagnosis that their child has cancer?
I think one major takeaway is that as sort of overwhelming and daunting as a childhood cancer diagnosis can be, there's a ton of research going on, funded by St. Baldrick's, funded by other organizations as well, and that there are people who are dedicating their lives to improving outcomes for kids who have childhood cancer or being treated for childhood cancer. The progress might be slower than any of us would like when we're in the middle of it, but there is that work underway, and that it's important for all of us, either those affected by childhood cancer or those who haven't been, especially those who haven't been, to support that research and help further that cause.
All right. Is there anything else either of you would like to add?
Micah just ducked away, I think.
Okay.
Use the restroom? I'm not sure. I apologize for that.
That's fine.
I'm trying to think what else. I think the main thing that we try and always focus on, especially during Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, is just the need for not to be redundant, but for awareness, to make sure that people understand that, that kids do get cancer and they need specialized treatments that aren't the same necessarily as adult treatments. And Mike is only here to talk to you today because he benefited from, you know, researchers and from patients who came before him that helped develop and improve the treatment options that are that have been out there and that are currently out there and hopefully will be coming in the future. Is there anything else you want to say to Brielle, Micah, about childhood cancer or cancer awareness or anything related to your story?
Well, it has increased my knowledge and other people's knowledge about at least neuroblastoma.
Join us next week when we chat with Barbara DeMorris, the founder of KnittedKnockers.org, about how her breast cancer diagnosis led her to discover soft, comfortable alternatives to traditional prosthetics that not only made her feel whole again, but changed her life too.
The Cure Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine.